Paul made the statement that God had chosen him, that Christ should be revealed in his life, and said they received him even as the Lord Jesus. And it's also obvious that when the Lord brought about the book of Revelation, that's called the Revelation of Jesus Christ, that when John saw Jesus standing in the midst of the candlesticks, it so depicted Paul in the midst of those churches that he had established. And strangely enough, before John ever came on the scene to call his writings the Revelation of Jesus Christ, long before that, Paul got into the anointing of God and received the Revelation of Jesus Christ and called it the Revelation of Jesus Christ. As a matter of fact, in Paul's writings a number of times, if you'll read, you'll find where he calls it the Revelation of Jesus Christ. And he had such great understanding, such great wisdom, that there had to be something special done to Paul that had never been done apparently to any other minister, though they were ever so great. But Paul said, "Lest I be exalted beyond measure, there was given unto me a thorn in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to buffet me." And that was a demon spirit, a devil, that was released against Paul to aggravate him and to buffet him. Everywhere he went, he found this thing present. Through his countrymen, through his loved ones, through the church, everywhere it was constantly buffeting him. And Paul was so aggravated with it that he besought God thrice, saying, "Lord, please move this thing." But the Lord said, "My grace is sufficient, Paul." It was through the buffeting that Paul received from this aggravating spirit that caused the people to frown on Paul. He was beat, shipwrecked, put in prison, everything else. It kept him a base in the eyes of the people. Otherwise, all of the world would have went after him because of his great knowledge and his great revelation. Such a great, mighty person was he. Caught up into the third heaven and saw things that was not lawful for him to speak. I want to read just a little bit here and talk to you a few minutes tonight if I can. One thing that a minister has to watch. When I say this, I mean when you really understand. Now, if you just call yourself a preacher, you don't have to do what I'm about to say, because it don't work like that. I've been on both sides of the fence, and I know it don't. But one thing a man has to understand, and that is if he really does come into the understanding of the mystery of Christ that Paul came into, he has to be so careful, unless he gets to where he doesn't care to share it with the people. This is a real touchy place. He don't have to worry so much about getting exalted, because God can take care of that. But he has to worry about having a desire to share it with the people. Because of the unconcern of the people, some of them are so unconcerned that he gets to where, if he's not careful, he won't want to bother them. Others are so overconfident that they do know that he gets to where he don't care about bothering with them. And it makes it a real touchy situation. A real touchy place. As a matter of fact, Paul even went before Peter after about 14 years went up and visited with Peter, and then on one occasion found Peter at Antioch, blamed Peter to his face because he was to be blamed. Peter was so sure that he knew and understood, overconfident because he had received the keys to the kingdom, and was so sure God had used Peter both to open the doors to the Gentile people and to the Jews. But when Paul received the revelation of Jesus Christ, he went to Peter and blamed him to his face, because the Bible said Peter was down at Antioch. He was eating with the Gentiles, and when certain brethren came over from the house of James, he said that Peter got afraid and withdrew. Other Jews followed him. Even Barnabas was carried away with their wrongdoings. And it grieved Paul so that he just openly, publicly, right there before everybody, blamed Peter to his face and said, Peter said, I want to know why it is that if you being a Jew and you do like the Gentiles, why is it that you compel the Gentiles to do like the Jews? And then he began to preach the revelation of Jesus Christ to Peter and to the Jews. There's little doubt in my mind that God allowed that thing to happen for one reason. And that is because the revelation of Jesus Christ was that which was to excel everything. Everything. There's nothing to be compared with it. Because it is God's own testimony through His Son, Jesus Christ. And though He had given Peter great means and measures among the people, yet He intended to convert it over that the people might openly see that it was Christ in you, the hope of glory, and not any special individual that had been told any special thing. And so then it took it out of the hands of knowledge. It placed it into the hands of revelation. Peter had walked with Jesus. He knew Jesus personally. I think that's what's wrong. If I say it right, I think that's what's wrong with the followers of Brother Branham today. They walk with Brother Branham. And as far as a natural thing and a fleshly thing, they are so confident that they are right in what they're doing when they're so wrong. And God is seeking to move it out of their hands and move it into a spiritual revelation. I notice this as a rule. Men who get knowledge, I always watch this. The first news you know, they come to the fact that it's grace. And then the next thing that you know, they've done gone charismatic. Because they found out that it's grace, and they've decided there ain't nothing else to do, and off they go. I believe this is what happened to Oral Roberts and great men of God like that, T.L. Osborne and many others. I believe that this is what happened to them. They came to an understanding in God, but instead of coming to the thorough understanding of God, they came to just enough to where it was blinding to them and to the people. That's why that I emphasize holiness the way that I do. And that's why that I'm so strict into things that I'm strict in. And that's why that Satan constantly tries so hard to bring somebody into this pulpit to cause you to detour from the holiness of heart and of body, spirit, to try to get you away from what I'm trying to bring you into, because the devil knows if you ever sidestep it, you'll be like all the rest. I say this a lot of times. The thing that we're working for is the redemption of the body. And if somebody can get up here and give you a real good sermon and make it look like that they know as much or more than the pastor does, then they can get you to believe anything they want to and lead you right off into anything they want to. That's all they've got to do. And all they've got to do is hop, skip, and jump, and do a few little things to get a few of you. If they get things just right up here, while they can take, ain't no telling how many of you, just like that. But I got a few of them here that they can't do that way. I got a few of them here that they don't. You know, there's some women, a man can come by and he sweep them off of their feet. But there is a few ladies in the world that you don't just go by and sweep them off of their feet. They love their companions. They love decency. You know, and a glamour boy don't just come by and sweep them off their feet. That's the way it is with Christ. There is a few people in the world that love God, and the devil can't just come by with some glitter glamour and just sweep them off of their feet. They are looking for something. They have respect under that recompense or reward that's out yonder. You know, you can let the world dazzle before you. It'll be so sparkling bright. As I preached one night, like the dewdrops on a spider web in the sunlight, the early morning sun. But I tell you what, just reach over one time and grab at it, and you're automatically hung up. Automatically hung up. You may jerk and spring up and down and go this way and that way. If you've ever watched a fly, you know how he does. He'll flap his wings and go every direction, but he don't get loose. He just bounces in the more. Because once you get stuck by the world, that's it. I want to read just a little bit tonight and take a few minutes to talk with you. In the fifth chapter of the book of Romans, if you've got your Bible, you can turn over and read with me. I think we better start at the fourth chapter. I won't be able to make you understand what I'm saying here. What shall we say then that Abraham our father... I want you to listen real good to the reading of the scripture, because I want you to understand. I've tried a number of years here to make you to understand. And I'm sure that every one of you know as far as you're concerned that you understand. It's like I told Bill, I remember for many years I had read, prayed, fasted, studied, scrutinized, hairline, done everything. There wasn't anything harder that I hadn't done. Communicated, talked with the best scholars, talked all night long, to only find out I didn't understand when I was so sure that I did. Now I tell you again, there ain't no way to understand. There ain't no way to understand unless it's revealed to you. That reminds me, something comes to my mind then. I remember one time reading a little line or two in a book that Brother Branham had. I picked it up and glanced at it, and I remember he made the statement. He said that men drive themselves crazy, just go wild and everything else, trying to understand, to never understand. Though they study their life away, the Bible said, ever learning, but never able to come to the knowledge, which is the truth knowledge, or the knowledge of truth. What shall we say then that Abraham our father, as pertaining to the flesh, hath found? For if Abraham was justified by works, he hath whereof to glory, but not before God. For what saith the scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. Now to him that worketh is the reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt. But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. Even as David also describeth the blessedness of the man unto whom God imputeth righteousness without works, saying, blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. Cometh this blessedness then upon the circumcision only, or upon the uncircumcision also? For we say that faith was reckoned to Abraham for righteousness. How was it then reckoned? When he was in circumcision or in uncircumcision? Not in circumcision, but in uncircumcision. And he received the sign of circumcision, a seal of the righteousness of the faith, which he had yet being uncircumcised, that he might be the father of all them that believe, though they be not circumcised, that righteousness might be imputed unto them also. And the father of circumcision to them who are not of the circumcision only, but who also walk in the steps of that faith of our father Abraham, which he had being yet uncircumcised. For the promise that he should be the heir of the world was not to Abraham or to his seed through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. For if they which are of the law be heirs, faith is made void, and the promise made of none effect, because the law worketh wrath. For where no law is, there is no transgression. Therefore it is of faith that it might be by grace to the end, the promise might be sure to all the seed, not to that only which is of the law, but to that also which is of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. As it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations. Before him whom he believed, even God who quickeneth the dead, and calleth those things which be not as though they were, who against hope believed in hope that he might become the father of many nations, according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. And being not weak in faith, considered not his own body, now dead when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb, he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised he was able also to perform. And therefore it was imputed to him for righteousness. Now it was not written for his sake alone that it was imputed to him, but for us also to whom it shall be imputed, if we believe on him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace, wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulation also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope, and hope maketh not ashamed. Because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. While when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man would one die. Yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commended his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if when we were enemies we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more being reconciled we shall be saved by his life. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. For until the law, sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed when there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression, who is the figure of him that was to come. But not as the offense, so also is the free gift. For if through the offense of one many be dead, much more the grace of God and the gift by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, hath abounded unto many. And not as it was by one that sinned, so is the gift for the judgment was by one to condemnation. But the free gift is of many offenses unto justification. For if by one man's offense death reigned, by one much more they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. Therefore, as by the offense of one judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so by the righteousness of one the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound, but where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. That as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin. Now if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more. Death hath no more dominion over him. For in that he died unto sin once, but in that he liveth unto God. Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let not sin, therefore, reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lust thereof. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourself unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under the law, but under grace. What then? Shall we sin because we are not under the law, but under grace? God forbid. Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourself servants to obey, his servants ye are, to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness? But God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. Being then made free from sin, you became the servants of righteousness. I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity of your flesh. For as ye have yielded your members servants to uncleanness and to iniquity, unto iniquity, even so now yield your members servants to righteousness unto holiness. For when ye were servants of sin, ye were free from righteousness. What fruit had ye then in those things whereof ye are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. But now being made free from sin and become servants to God, ye have your fruits unto holiness and the end everlasting life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Now, I want to talk to you just a few minutes. And I'd like for you to try. You know, the Bible says to strive to enter in at the straight gate. That is, try. Make a very special effort. I want you to try tonight to understand what we're saying. The end of the world is nearby. Things are happening like they've never happened before in the history of mankind. Right at this point, at this time, the Lord is actually getting the church ready to take it out of here. Brother Arthur was telling me, I believe it was yesterday, that his daughter Joanne had had a dream that we had a little, I suppose it was a little boy from the way he expressed it. It was a little child born to us, and it had a halo about its head. It was a little child, perhaps a little boy, that had a halo about its head, and the little baby spoke up and said, "This is the translation." You know, that's strange that that should happen right after we had preached the messages that we preached the other night. At that very time we had preached the message, or two or three messages just prior to this dream. At this time, having preached these messages, letting you know that everything was just right, that the spiritual babe of the church was being born, and that their eyes was beginning to come open to see what God was doing in this hour. You know, one thing that we need to know is that God, though he forgives our sin, that he doesn't forgive our sin every day. When we sin against God, we have a habit of going to God and we say, "Oh Lord, I've sinned against you. Oh Lord, forgive me." And that's right, we should do that. We kneel down and we plead our cause with God and we say, "Lord, help me, because I've sinned against you, Lord." Like the prodigal said, I've sinned against you, Father. I've sinned against heaven. No more worthy to be called a son, but make me a servant. And you know, we should pray after the same manner. All humility, asking God to forgive our sins for the reason, one reason alone, and that reason is that we may have the humility before God that we need to keep our outer being abased in the presence of God. But I want you to know something, that God, if he forgave your sins every time you went to God, there would have to be a crucifixion every time that you went to Jesus. But what God does from the foundation of the world, or what he has done, he foresaw me. He foresaw you. He foresaw every child of God, every wicked person, before he ever created a being into the world. He foresaw them, foresaw their life, foresaw every wrong that they would do, every evil that they would commit, everything that they would think that was unlike him. He foresaw it. And those that he saw would accept the right way of life if they had opportunity. Those that would want to do the right thing if they just knew what to do, God, in his foreknowledge, slew a lamb, Jesus Christ. Peter said he was before the world ever was ordained by God to be the slain lamb, but manifested in the latter times, in the end of the world, he called it. But God, at that one time, looked at me and he looked at you, and he saw every transgression that we would ever make, every wrong that we would ever do, every sin that we could ever commit. And God, once and for all, looking from the beginning of our life all the way down to the end of our life, once and for all, forgive every Christian person all of their sins at one time. All of it, every bit of it was forgiven. Paul, in trying to express the mystery of Christ to the Jews, he had such a difficult time because the Jews were so caught up in the works of the law until he couldn't express to them the mystery of God and what God had wrought in Christ before the world ever was. And how that God had chosen humanity in Christ before the world ever came into existence. Peter couldn't understand it, that is. Paul, blaming Peter to his face, Peter being the head of the Jews, as we would say, because Paul said the gospel was committed unto Peter for the Jews, the gospel committed unto Paul for the Gentiles. Paul, seeing the revelation, blamed Peter because Peter was about to lead them back into the very problem that they'd had from the beginning before God brought about the manifested Lamb. Saying to them, how is it that the miracles of God are worked among you? Is it by the works of the law? Or by the hearing of faith? And he said, are you so foolish, having begun in the Spirit, are you now made perfect by the flesh? So then, on and on, he went on preaching, saying to Peter and to the Jewish people, know ye not that all of those that are under the law, or the works of the law, are under the curse? And he said, God made Christ Jesus a curse for us. For cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things that the law has written. For the righteousness of the law is after this fashion, Paul said, he that doeth the works of the law shall live in them. But the righteousness of God, which is by faith, is not like that. But he said, say not in thine heart, who shall ascend into heaven? That is to bring Christ down. Or who shall descend into the deep? That is to bring Christ up. For the word is nigh you, even in your heart, the word of faith that we preach, that if ye shall believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, that it shall come to pass, that whosoever calleth upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Paul said, I'm not going to frustrate the grace of God. If there is a law that can bring righteousness or could have brought righteousness, then Christ is dead in vain. I do not believe, Paul said, that God would have slain his own son had there been such a law. But since there was no such law, then Christ was made a curse for us. For cursed is everyone that hangeth upon a tree. It is written in the scriptures, he said. Being made a curse for us, he took us out from under the curse of the law. Now, we, in this day, we have the same problem. In the teachings of today, we have the same problem. We have two extremists. We have the Pentecostal people that will take one extreme, and they will preach salvation by repentance. But the continual thing of God by everyday repentance and going on with God, as they call it, to live a holy life. Whereas they have gotten away from the old path and become charismatic now. Proving that they didn't really believe what they were teaching to start with. We've got the Baptist, the Methodist, Presbyterian, the other side of it. The ministers will preach, all you've got to do is believe on the Lord Jesus, you shall be saved. That there's nothing else to do. And I don't mean this wrong, and God knows I don't mean it wrong, but they don't even know what they're saying. The ministers don't even know what they're saying. It's another extreme. When you tell a man that all a man's got to do is believe to be saved, that's not right. When Paul was preaching the mystery of Christ, he wasn't even preaching anything like that. But a man that don't know, a man that don't understand, a preacher that don't understand, that's never been called into the ministry, that can't interpret the things of God, that don't have the Holy Spirit to tell him. As far as he's concerned, all you got to do is believe, because the Bible said just believe. But that wasn't what God was saying at all. It's altogether different from that. That's why people today are in such a dilemma. That's why they're in such a torn up way of life. They don't understand. My people perish from the lack of knowledge. Paul didn't preach that. Peter didn't preach that. Others didn't preach that. It is true that Peter got off on the wrong track for a little while until Paul reproved him. And then when Peter got the revelation and understood, Peter began to say the right things. Even though he did say, Paul said some things that was hard for him to understand. Or hard to be understood. I perceive that he meant hard for him to understand too. Because they had a dispute over it. But now, we don't get forgiveness every day. There's no such thing, beloved friend, as God forgiving my sins every day. Paul outlines in the Word of God that this salvation from the beginning is under many offenses. Though one offense brought death, just one brought death upon all men. And from Adam all the way over to Moses, death was reigning over man. But God could not impute death because there was no law. Where there is no law, death cannot be imputed. Because sin is the transgression of the law. If there is no law, there is no transgression. How then can God impute sin if there is no transgression? That is why that God brought the law into the world to start with. Paul, in understanding the mysteries of Christ, he disputed with the Jews and he told them, said, you don't understand. You serve the law. Why do you serve the law? He said. He said, you are going back to the bondswoman, to Abraham's wife that had a son of the flesh and the will of the flesh. But you're not staying with Abraham's son of promise. And he said, this woman, Hagar, answers back to Agar, which is Mount Sinai, which is in Arabia. Whereas you're familiar with that mountain. Even today, we know that it's in Arabia. Now, he said, this woman means a natural person, whereas a natural Jew was chosen to show it, which is in bondage with her children. Said, brethren, don't you understand that you are the bond's child as long as you serve the law? Because God didn't give salvation to Abraham, who is the father of the faithful. By the law, he did not give it. He gave it to Abraham by promise. Said, therefore, it is no more of works. If it be of works, then we can go around boasting, and that will give the Jews a chance to boast, make a fuss over you, and glory in your flesh because of your circumcision, in that everybody that became part of the tribes had to be circumcised. The child had to be circumcised because that was a seal or a sign to them that you could be part of the tribe of God. But Paul said, you've got it wrong. It wasn't that way at all, so far as having to get into the tribe. He said that wasn't what it was for. That wasn't the proof of salvation. But he said circumcision was given to you as a seal of the salvation which was given to you by promise. So then, not unto seeds as of many, he said. For God didn't say, I give salvation unto all you Jewish people. He didn't say, I give salvation unto all the world. He didn't make a promise to all of you. Paul said he made a promise just to one. Abraham, through thy seed Isaac. The promise is for the seed, he said. Isaac, just Isaac. In Isaac shall thy seed be called. Which means that those that are not born of Isaac have no inheritance so far as the natural promise of Abraham. I don't care how much Jew they are. Paul said the whole house of Israel shall be saved. Which means the house of Jacob. For his name was changed from Jacob to Israel. All of those that come through the seed of Isaac. Now, that are accounted for as the children of the promise. In Isaac, Paul said, shall thy seed be called. Whereas, he said, brethren, the law was a schoolmaster to bring us over to Calvary when the promised seed arrived. For when Christ Jesus came, he was the Son of promise. He is the Son of promise. In Christ Jesus, who is heir to the glory of God? Christ Jesus. Not you, not me, but Christ Jesus. This is why the preachers of today make such a great mistake in their preaching. Because they do not preach it according to the revelation of Christ. Thank you. As long as I preach to you that you can be saved by faith, just by faith, that isn't right. That isn't right. But ministers are so sure that they're right till they don't bother to find out. All you've got to do, they say, is just believe, just believe, just believe. But that isn't right. That isn't what he's talking about. He made it clear that in the mystery of Christ, that the promise is unto just one, just unto Isaac, unto Christ, he said. That's all. Not unto anybody else, but unto Christ. What is the difference then, Brother Pike? Oh, it's altogether different. If you'll read your Bible and you'll read with the Holy Spirit moving you and enlightening you and understanding, making you to understand, you'll see that everywhere that those men were talking about faith, they was talking about the faith of the promised seed. Altogether different. When they were talking, it's so close. It sounded like they were saying, just believe, folks, just believe, folks. But that wasn't it at all. They were teaching not a justification by your believing. That's how the entire world is going to miss it. That's why that the writer said it'd be so closed that the very elect would be deceived if it was possible. Because they're preaching, the Bible said they're ministers of Satan. They transform themselves into ministers of righteousness, being transformed by the renewing of their mind. He said Satan has transformed himself into an angel of light. And they're preaching by faith, and the altar's just filling up, going nowhere. The people ain't going nowhere. Oh, you say, Brother Pike, all of them millions of people, they're believing and they ain't going nowhere. If they are, why does the Bible say, few there be that find it and fear not, little flock? That's no little flock. Thousands and millions of people. What is it? They're after one thing, and that is their money. And they get their money by the millions of dollars. Millions of dollars. Brother, they don't ask for it. Like some of the people of Bethlehem to get a few dollars to pay a bill. They want 30 and 40 million dollars at one time. Like a man out in California, one of the leading, I'm talking about Pentecostal preachers too. One man asking for $100 million at one time. Another man in the West asking for $40 million at one time. How do you understand what I'm saying? See, God isn't talking about your faith. You can believe all you want to, you'll still die and go to hell. It don't have nothing to do with it. Your faith isn't going to justify you one bit. Not one bit is it going to justify you. Not one bit. If your believing can justify you, the devil's believing can justify him. The Bible said you believe there's one God, you do well, the devil believes too. If you're justified by believing, then the devil is justified by believing. Somebody say, I love Jesus. Praise God. You say, well, I don't believe that, Brother Pike. Well, then God will be respect a person. Oh, you say, well, the devil ain't no person. But when the Bible speaks of the angel that came to Daniel, it said, when that man Gabriel. Now, listen, folks. One thing we've got to understand as the church of the living God, we've got to understand this. If we're going to do anything for God, we've got to understand this. Because everything else is going to be broken down. Paul points out back there when Moses was on the mountain and the mountain literally shook and burned like a blaze of fire. He pointed out, said God shook the earth. But he said, yet once again will I shake things. Paul said this yet once again signifies not only the shaking of the earth, but the shaking of heaven and everything that can be moved or shaken. Thus signifying that that which cannot be moved or shaken shall remain. A lot of people can be shaken. They believe one thing today, but if you cross them up a little and you talk long enough to them, brother, you'll get them to where they're not sure whether they know what they believe or whether they do know what they believe. But I want you to know what you believe. I want you to understand what you believe. I don't want you to be a Brother Pike follower today and Brother Branham follower tomorrow and Brother Hembry follower the next day and Brother Green follower the next day and a Brother Terrell follower the next day and Brother Roberts follower the next day. I want you to be a Christ follower every day. The Bible said they were first called Christians at Antioch. Even where they had the dispute down there, it must have really gained a reputation. I want you to be a Christian. A Christian. To be a Christian is to be Christ-like. Christ is the Word. To be Word-like. Word-like in your thinking. Word-like in your doings. Word-like in all of your attitudes. Praise God. I praise God for Brother Richard praying here last night. All little 12 or 1 o'clock and my little twins prayed here till they went off to sleep. And Timmy Pike prayed here. I thank God for those people that was doing that. You know, that's what we need to do is pray. When we pray, when we call on God, when we speak to the Lord, the Holy Ghost will come down and do something for us. And we'll understand. He will enlighten our understanding. He will do something for us. The Bible tells us that there is no remission of sin without the shedding of the blood. Paul said in the Old Testament, under the Old Covenant, the tabernacle was sprinkled with blood. All of the vessels were sprinkled with blood. And Paul said almost everything of the Old Covenant was purged by means of blood. But he said it still was just an earthly tabernacle. And what Moses received was only a pattern that he made as he was caught up in the Spirit looking at the heavenly things. And he said, brethren, if it was needful for the pattern of heavenly things to be sprinkled with blood of goats and calves, he said, how much more needful is it that those which are the very heavenly things themselves be sprinkled with the human sacrifice or blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, a lamb without spot, wrinkle, and blemish. For that of the goats, he said, could never, never do the job. But he said, that of Jesus Christ, the blood of Jesus Christ, once and for all, he took that blood, entered into the holies of holies, and there he put it on the seat of atonement. Entered into the first veil. The priest could go in there, and the showbread, the shewbread, the table, the candlesticks, they could go through there. We see that in the church ages. The seven messengers, the preachers, they're in that second veil. They're in that second heaven of grace. We see that. But into that third place, the holies of holies, the second veil it is called, only the high priest Aaron once a year, and that not without blood, went into that place wherein was the Ark of the Covenant. And the covering cherub that Paul said we cannot now speak particular of. We still don't quite know just exactly. Here, I have to be careful what we say. And the little golden censer. And then he said this little ark being overlaid with gold inside of it was the little golden pot with the manna in it that come down from heaven during the wilderness. Man, that's something. How did they preserve that manna? Did you know that when that manna was held back, worms got in it? While they could have hold it back a day or so, worms would get in it. But here it is in a golden pot. Nothing happens to it. That shows you the power of God to preserve what he wants to preserve. And here was Aaron's rod that budded. And here was the table of the covenants. All in the holies of holies. Nobody dared go in there. Only the high priest and Jesus Christ by his own blood made after the order of the priesthood of Melchizedek, which is the Almighty God. Somebody say, who is Melchizedek? I had a man to come not too long ago said, who is this Melchizedek? I want to know who he is. He's the Holy Ghost. He's God. How do you understand he's God? The Holy Ghost. There never was anybody else like that. The Bible said when Aaron went into the holies of holies, it was thus signifying the Holy Ghost's entrance when he would go into the holies of holies. You said, but Brother Pike, if it was the Holy Ghost, then the Holy Ghost, that's Jesus. The Bible said that Jesus was made after the order of the Melchizedek priesthood. That means after the order of the Spirit. For the first man, Adam, being made a living soul, the second man, Adam, was made a quickening spirit, made like unto the Spirit. That means that Jesus was born into this world just like you and I are born, to the extent that he was partakers of the flesh and bone that you and I have. But that body was glorified, changed to the order of the Spirit. He was made a high priest, a man, a human being, was made a high priest. after the order of Melchizedek, one that could never die would have an eternal priesthood. Whereas the days of the Levites, they couldn't have that. So then, the blood, the purging by His own Spirit. What does this mean to us? What is this then our father Abraham has discovered? What is it that he hath found? He hath found or discovered or received a promise of justification by faith. Oh, somebody would say, but Brother Pike, I know that. No, that's not what I'm saying. I'm sure that some of you understand, or I trust that you do, but many of you don't. When Abraham discovered a justification, it wasn't a justification by your believing. It wasn't a justification by Abraham believing. Even though Abraham's faith was imputed unto him as righteousness, yet it wasn't Abraham's faith at all that done the job. Not at all. It had nothing to do with it. Christ was the heir. Paul said, what is this that God hath done? He hath chosen a human being by the name of Jesus Christ that sufficiently believed for every living human being in the world that would believe on Him. Oh, there's no difference, Brother Pike. Oh my, there is an eternity of difference. An eternity of difference. The Lord Jesus Christ, the faith of Christ Jesus, by which ye are sanctified. It's called the faith. When the preachers preach about it, when you read your Bible, you'll misunderstand. You'll think that they're talking about your faith. But look at it close, and you'll find out that their ministry, their preaching, their exhortation, all that they were trying to say, they were trying to emphasize that there is a seed that was heir to the glory of God. There was a promise made to this heir. And that this heir owns everything, everything, the only living human being that ever walked the earth, the only one that ever become heir to the things of God, which means that not any of you are heir, not any of you are heir, nobody, Jews, Gentiles, nobody, just Jesus. That's why we glorify Him. That's why we praise Him. That's why we love Him. Not one individual never lived in any way to where they could be an heir to the glory of God. He alone did it. I don't care how much you fast, how much you pray. I don't care what you've done. I don't care who the preacher is. There's never been no one, not any. Just Jesus, that's all. Somehow, by the grace of God, through His master plan, before the world ever was, if He had not left us a seed, we'd be like Sodom and Gomorrah. If He had not left us a root, we'd be cut off. This Jesus, His faith in God done the job. His faith. Oh, you say, Brother Pike, what are you saying? I'm saying if you don't never believe a lick, it don't make no difference. God's faith did it. Christ's faith did it. Oh, somebody said, I don't believe that. I know you don't. You're an unbeliever. But the Bible says it. Christ, you say, oh, Brother Pike, you mean to tell me that I'll go to heaven if I don't believe a lick? I didn't say that. I didn't say that. But you believe in a lick ain't going to take you to heaven either. Whether you believe or don't believe, it ain't going to take you to heaven. It's what Christ believed. It was the faith of Christ Jesus that done it. That's why when Christ said it's finished, it was finished. That's why Paul had a dispute with the Jews. He said, you folks that fast and pray and say that you believe in God, he said, it won't do any good. He said, you mean to tell us that we have all the ordinances, that we're the church and everything in our forefathers and this and that, we're Baptist and Methodist and Presbyterian and everything else. Just the early start. You mean to tell us? I mean to tell you. Paul said, I mean to tell you. There wasn't but one. It was Jesus. It was Christ, his faith. It was the faith of the Son of God. That's why he said, the life I now live, I live by his faith. I'm alive because he believed. I go rejoicing because he made it. Be of good cheer. I've overcome the world, Jesus said. I believe, I do believe, but why do I believe? I just believe in him. My faith is up and down and in and out and around and here and everywhere, and yours is too. Everybody's is. Some of us do better than others. But oh, beloved friend, his never is up, nor down, nor in, nor out. When God said for you to ask in faith, nothing wavering, he means for your own personal benefits to get things in this present world. Work your bodies into shape, sanctify your bodies, get your mind straightened out. Cleanse your spirit of all filth, your flesh of all filth, perfecting holiness unto God, not so you can be godly. That has nothing to do with your godliness. Not so you can be godly. Somebody would say, now, Brother Pike, you mean to tell me that if I don't put away the filth of the flesh, I can be godly too? I didn't say that. Anybody that's got their name on the roll, they'll do everything they can to put away the ungodliness. But I want you to know that's got your name on the roll. Peter said that putting away of the filth of the flesh, that doesn't do it. But the answer of a good conscience toward God. And how can I have that? By believing in what my Lord and Savior did. And what God wrought in Christ for me in my behalf before the world ever was. And Paul said at the end of the way that he's going to make known to us what an abundance of grace and joy and greatness that he'd done for us. In his magnificent love, when we stand there and realize what he hath done in the mystery of Christ. The faith. I now preach the faith. We are not preaching the faith of Brother Pike. We're not preaching the faith of Brother Taylor. We're not preaching the faith of Brother Roberts, Brother Branham. We're preaching the faith of Jesus Christ. The faith of Christ. This faith by which you're sanctified. This faith is what finished the works at Calvary. I want you to understand tonight. I can tell some of you still don't understand. Oh, we do. I know you don't. I can tell the way the Spirit's moving. The faith that Christ Jesus manifested in his lifetime. The faith that never wavered. His believing in God finished the work. I was predestinated in him, in what he'd done, in what he believed, in what God planned before the world ever was. And my name was wrote down in the Lamb's Book of Life. And when he went to Calvary, it was all manifest what he had finished before the world ever was. And when he sent ministers to me, and the Bible said the ministry is the glory of God. When they were sent to me, these ministering brethren, he said, why, they're God's glory. How beautiful are the feet of them that bring glad tidings of great joy. This is great tidings. Not of an up and down and in and out and get right next revival and hope to hold on. Not that kind of thing at all. God forgave your sins one time and for all before you was ever born into the world. Every time you'll ever transgress under many offenses, every Bible you'll ever make, every word you'll ever say wrong, God forgave it and put it away under the blood. It's gone. He put it away. Not only did he do that, but the Bible said he did it so that he could present us to himself unreprovable. He wanted us to be in his presence unreprovable. He wanted us to be in his presence to where he never has to reprove us for anything. He put away our iniquity. It's gone. He put away our sin. It's gone. There is no sin, no iniquity, no reproof to the Christian. No spot, no blemish. Never has been. Never will be. Never could be. I preach to you many times, he that is born of God cannot sin because the seed of God remaineth in him, and he cannot sin. Not maybe won't, but he cannot, because he is born to the Spirit of God. He has the God nature. It's on the inside. He is perfect before God, justified, sanctified, and as we've said so many times, glorified. The Bible said he hath glorified us. We are glorified, not working our way unto glorification, not coming unto a place of glorification, not trying to get good enough to be glorified, but he hath glorified us. The circumcision. Everyone that openeth the matric, the firstborn shall be mine, saith the Lord. Because it had to do with the rent veil. It had to do with the removing of the foreskin of the little child. That meant that the inner headship of God would come forth at Calvary when the old body was rent and taken away. And the body of sin, which was the veil of death that come over Adam and Eve, when that body was taken away at Calvary, it was the unveiling of the masterpiece, the taking away of the foreskin of circumcision, the old man being taken away, the outer beast body, that outer part being gone. And when we are baptized, somebody say, Brother Pike, it don't make any difference whether we are baptized or whether we're not baptized. Don't let nobody lie to you. The Bible said as many as been baptized into Christ to put on Christ. What shall they do then that are baptized for the dead? When we are baptized, it thus signifies our accepting the crucifixion of Christ Jesus. When I am baptized, I take off the old veil. I lay it down in the grave. That sinful old veil, folded up and laid away, that which is relative to sin and death by the law. I come up a new creature in Christ. No man should know me after the flesh. No man should know Christ after the flesh. No man should know a Christian after the flesh, because he is spirit. He that is born to spirit is spirit. We are born of the bone of Christ. Flesh of the flesh of Christ. The veil is gone. For when Rebecca got there, the veil was taken away in the marriage chambers. It was gone. It was there no more. The veil was removed because God ordained that it be removed. The veil that was over Moses' face, they could not look steadfastly to the end of that covenant. He put the veil over his face so they could not look steadfast to the end of it. Because the glory of the one that was following was so great that there was no glory to the first in that the second soul excelleth. And the veil over Moses to keep them from looking steadfast to the end of it, to keep God from having to destroy Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles could come in. For where there's no law, there's no transgression. Where there's no knowledge, there's no sin. Where there's no sin, death is not imputed. Therefore, in the ignorance, they are kept alive. But the veil, rent in twain at Calvary, We don't have a veil over us. We don't have a veil over us. Why? As a messenger we have here. Because when the headship of a child is born, the first thing that breaks the matrix is the head of the child. At Calvary, Jesus Christ came up. And he went into the heavens, and he's there in the heavens tonight. He is there all down through the church ages. The physicians have worked carefully, cautiously, until the last thing points toward the 10 toes. Down at the end time, when the child is born, immediately caught up to the throne, there raptured up into the arms of the Heavenly Father to receive the Father's name. Caught up, ruling with a rod of iron, the veil of the temple was rent in twain that all might be seen. Folks, when we go before God, I've said this so many times, when we go before God, how do you approach the Lord? Do you go and say, oh my God, whew, I barely made it. Lord, help me. God, I don't know what I'm going to do. Is that the attitude? The law of sin and death of condemnation in your body, warn against the law of life on the inside of faith. What faith? Christ is faith. Can condemnation overpower the faith of Christ that's in our minds? The law of sin and death, my body's gone, it's been buried, it's been taken away. I'm free from the law of sin and death. I'm free from the body. I'm free from the veil of death. I enter into the holies of holies. I go boldly before the throne of God. In what way? To say, bless God, you better do it. No. No, with the love and reverence and respect that any son ought to have for a great father. But without condemnation, without worry, without doubt, without lack of confidence. Not going in there thinking, God had done this and God had done that and I made this Bible and I made that Bible. And Lord, what am I going to do? I don't do that. He said, enter in boldly before the throne of grace that you might receive help in the time of need. I go in there knowing that there is no spots, no wrinkles, no blemish, no sin, no iniquity. Never has been. Never will be. And I go before my Father expecting Him to do what I ask Him to do, expecting Him to bless me according to my expectations. Why? Because the faith of Jesus Christ done the job once and for all. And by that faith He sanctified me. The Bible said we are sanctified by one offering of the body of Jesus, by the faith of Jesus Christ. Once and for all we're sanctified. And them that He sanctified, He's also perfected forever. He has predestinated, He has justified, He has glorified us. If I then don't have to worry about my believing, then why should I be under condemnation? Happy is he that doth not condemn himself over that thing that he allows to strike his faith and to tear him down. Happy is the man that don't go down the drain of condemnation and unbelief. Happy is the man that can look on the faith of Jesus and say, I'm going to go on living. I'm going to go on enjoying my life. I'm a Christian not because of my believing. I'm a Christian because of the faith of God in the life I now live. I'm permitted to live it by the faith of God. The faith of Jesus Christ, which means eternally and forever, I am free. I am free. He that the Son is made free is free indeed. So then it's not a matter of whether I believe in and out and up and down. The thing that's important is that I do believe on Him that justifieth those that believe on Him. I believe. Do you believe on Him? I believe on Him. He is my master. I have surrendered my life to Him. I am His son. And I am justified, cleansed and perfected, not because I can believe my way into it, but because He hath already done it by His believing. And I'm just believing in His believing. I'm believing in what He hath already done. I'm thanking God for what He hath already done. Now, somebody would say, well, Brother Pike, that really does fix it up. We can all go charismatic. I'll tell you one thing. The Bible said you're none of His unless you have His Spirit. And one way is to have the sign of circumcision. My brother and sister, when you really are one of them that was predestinated through His believing, I want you to know that when you start believing in God and praising God for what He hath done for you, not going to do for you, not what you're going to do if you can hold on enough years, but what He hath done for you forever and eternally. When you start believing that and you get confident that the Holy Spirit, the sign of circumcision that takes away the old man, will come down in your heart and seal your spirit unto the day of the redemption of the body. For there is a blood atonement. There is a blood atonement. You must have it. There is a water baptism that has to do with the Father, the taking away of the old man. There is a blood atonement at Calvary that has to do with the Son of God. And there is an infilling of the Spirit that has to do with the Holy Ghost. And you're going to have those three things in birth or you haven't been born again. He that be born of the water and of the Spirit, know ye not that so many as are baptized into Him or baptized for the dead or baptized into His body, having then put on Christ and been buried with Him, the grave of the water, shall we not then be resurrected in His likeness? Therefore, reckon yourselves to be them that have been buried by the body of Jesus and smitten by God at Calvary, and that today you are alive from the dead, that you are not after the flesh, not to know you after the flesh, but you are alive from the dead, and the body is bone of His bone and flesh of His flesh, and you are the Lord Jesus Christ in the earth, living this life by the Son of God, the hope of glory within you. Christ in you, the hope of glory. The faith which is by the Son of God. I wish we had time to say more tonight, but the faith of the Son of God. Beware lest you fail to understand. Beware lest your confidence in your own believing be based upon your ability to believe and your ability to achieve in your life. Friend, you've got to realize that it's done once and for all through His faith. And then you've got to sit in with a diligence with all of your heart and life to perfect holiness unto God out of the love and sweetness of your heart, not to make you holy in the sense of salvation, but to make you holy in the sense that God made you holy in His sight once and for all. And this old wretched contrary mind and contrary body, you want to make it conform to His life and His way and His love because of what He done for you. Somebody would say, well, I just settled for what He's already done for me and gone eating the good things of the world. You never known God. You wasn't in that faith. You never was of that predestination. You wasn't in that faith. Your attitude proves it. What you need to do is to examine yourselves and find out. Make sure you're calling. Call on God and get born again. That's what you need to do. All right, so then it is a great thing that God hath done for us. We, if we ever come to understand, and we must come to understand, or we will not make the rapture. Those that do not come to understand will not make the rapture. You must understand. This is what we wish, even the perfecting of your faith. I want to perfect holiness in my body to be like Jesus. I want to perfect holiness in my mind to think like Jesus. Not that any of that is going to do me any bit of good so far as salvation. I want to put away the filth of my flesh. Not that that's going to do me any good. But the answer of a good conscience, if Christ has worked wrought within my heart by faith, Christ in me the hope of glory, sanctified by that faith, that is what has saved me and changed me and put me into another world. But I want to do this other to be like him. And because I have his nature, what else can I do? Can an apple do anything? An apple tree but blossom through its apple nature toward an apple conformity? Is not that the proof of the nature? And isn't it a fact that if that nature's in me, that is the answer why I have the desire that I have? And if I don't have that desire, isn't that positive proof that I never was of that nature? I never was partakers of that divine nature. Therefore, in the foreknowledge of God, he did not plant me in his garden, nor see me in that which was the faith of Jesus Christ. You understand what I'm saying? Because my nature is of Christ and I love him, I want to conform to him. Therefore, he saw me in the beginning. I hope, knowing that everything is as close as it is, Thessalonians chains, we will be changed in a moment. In the twinkling of an eye, the dead in Christ shall rise first. We who are alive and remain shall suddenly be changed with them. Then we shall be caught up with them in the air. I heard a man in Oklahoma try to explain it away, but you can't explain it away. We will be caught up in the air. The air. The air up about 50 miles above us, the air extends, I believe. Somewhere within that radius, we'd be caught up in the air. And the Bible said, in the clouds. So shall we meet the Lord. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout. He'll scream out. He'll scream out. It'll be the voice of the archangel. He'll scream with the voice of the archangel. And as he screams, his voice is the trump of God. And as he screams, that voice, which is the trump of God, shall resurrect the dead. For he shall descend from heaven with the voice of the archangel, with a shout, and the voice of the archangel with the trump of God. And the dead in Christ shall rise, which means he just shall do one thing, descend and scream. That'll be the voice of the archangel, and that'll be the trump of God. Because we lift up our voice like a trumpet. He is God's mouthpiece. When he speaks, that's God speaking from within him. The trump of God. The fullness of God. I want you to stand with me. All of this thing about people believing, just believing on the Lord, multitudes are going to die and go to hell. Multitudes of people. Because they do not have his spirit. Believing is not going to do you any good, my friend. You can believe all you want to. It's not going to do you any good. You're going to have his spirit. And the only way to have his spirit, the Bible said, the righteous shall understand. Somebody said, well, you don't have to understand, you just have to believe. That's a lie of the devil. Don't you never let nobody tell you that. The Bible said the righteous shall understand. You must understand, or you cannot believe. The only way to believe is to understand. And the righteous shall understand. The wicked shall not understand. That's what's wrong with the world now. They say, all you have to do, you just come on, you believe. Just leave it up to me, the preacher. Just leave it up to us. You don't have to worry about understanding. You do have to worry about understanding. You better start understanding. You have to understand so that you can believe. You can't believe in the right thing if you don't know the right thing and don't understand the right thing. You go down the road and the bridge is out. Somebody tells you at the top of the hill. They say, don't worry about it. Just keep on believing. I'll guarantee you'll wind up in the bottom of the creek or the river. You can believe all you want to going down that hill. But I tell you what, if you'll get your understanding right and say, now wait a minute, the bridge is out down at that place. I believe, but what I believe is that the bridge is out, because my understanding tells me that. And you'll save yourself, brother, from falling into the creek and into the river. If you want to be prayed for, come on up. I thought about praying for the sick tonight. I was just going to kind of pass it by, but Scotty, come up here, so I'll pray for you. Some of the boys didn't understand why I didn't come up today. I want to be sure. You know, I don't want to scold you. A lot of times I come in and I just kind of cut things short. Rather than scold you or say something to you, I just rather cut things short and go on my way. Because I don't like to scold you. Sometimes I have to. I hope tonight that you can understand what God hath done. You know, you say, I understand, but we still have that atmosphere of saying, well, I gotta hold on. I don't know whether I'm going to make it or not. Oh, God, help me. Don't you know you can't understand? You can't believe when you think like that. Brother, when you really know what I'm saying and really believe what I'm saying, then you know that what Christ Jesus, the Son of God, hath done is done once and for all. And there ain't nothing that can be added to it nor taken away from it. Not anything. But it is something that he hath done by his faith. And all of the super duper evangelists running through the land saying, believe, believe, and you'll go, ain't worth the time that they take to do it. That it's what he hath done, and it's for whom he hath done it. You say, for whom then, Brother Pike, hath he done it? For them that understand. For the righteous shall understand. For them that understand. You must understand that he hath done it. Paul struggled, talked night and day to get them to understand that he hath done it, that they might believe in what he hath done. Why then do we place our faith in our own feeble, staggering ability, our own weak-kneed way of life? Why is it that our faith, our confidence then rest in the uncertainty of our ability, when we're always full of faults and up and down and in and out with a continuation? Always we're under condemnation because of our shortcomings. Why? It's because we don't understand and we don't believe. Well, there is no such thing to a child of God. You say, but Brother Pike, you mean to tell me I can just do what I want to and I don't have to worry about it? You can do what you want to, anything you want to do, because you ain't right with God to start with. You're not even accounted for in the book. I'm talking to people that love God. I'm not talking about people that just wishy-washy, I don't care, in and out and up and down, that's got some idea of figuring out how that they can skimpy around and get by with everything they can and still get into the kingdom of God. I'm not talking about them people. Them kind of people don't have God. They don't know God. They've never met God. But people that are conscientious, people that are convicted, people that want to live right, people that want to go to heaven, that want to try to do the right thing, and yet you stagger and stumble when you're trying to do your best. Trying to do your best. You know, folks, the first thing you're going to have to do is get straight in your mind and heart and get honest with man and with God. You haven't got anywhere to get honest with man and God. You don't know whether you're in or whether you're out. You're going to have to do that before you even know whether you're in or out. You know, if you can ever determine whether you're in or out, then you can find out if you're really one of them. The Bible said, examine yourselves. See if you are in the faith. And it tells us to make our calling and our election sure. You say, but I am one of the called. Are you sure? I am one of the elect, Brother Pike. Are you sure? The Bible said, make sure that you're one of the called. Make sure you're one of the elect. How can I make sure? If you are sure, then that means that you are one with this faith I'm speaking of, and that this faith was wrought for you, and there's no chance for you to be lost. There's no chance for you to sin. There's no chance for you to do anything where God will have to reprove you. But are you sure that you're one of them? Are you sure that you're one of them? How can I be sure? Peter enumerated some things when he spoke of love, brotherly kindness, joy, peace, meekness, long-suffering, temperance, patience, all these things. When he spoke of these things, he said, see if this is the kind of fruits that you produce in your heart. Are you patient? Are you patient with anybody or anything? Are you even patient in service? Are you long-suffering when people do you wrong and hurt you and tear you to pieces? Are you long-suffering? Are you gentle? Do you come back with a gentle nature? Are you gentle in the time when people do things that's displeasing to you? Or are you temperamental? Are you gentle? Do you have joy, real God joy on the inside? Do you have real love on the inside? Are you a meek person? Do you have meekness? Or are you lifted up? Every time God does some little something for you, do you get way up here like you're some great something and everybody else is a bunch of dogs? Do you get way up here and say, oh, ha, 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 I'm just as good as anybody now? You're not right with God. The more you learn about God, the more you'll be meek. The littler you'll be, the more you'll realize that you ain't nothing. Because the more you really understand God and His way of life, the more you realize that you ain't a speck in the universe as to compare to what He hath done. You haven't done anything. He's done everything. Are you meek? Are you meek? Jesus was meek, saying, I'm meek and lowly. Moses was the meekest man in all the land. They were moved like a roaring lion for God, but yet they were meek. They were not brutal men. They were not harsh men. Though Jesus could turn over the tables, pop the whip, drive the money changers out, call them a bunch of hypocrites, yet he was still meek. There was nothing bitter in his heart. He was sweet and he was meek. He had no harshness about him. Moses was upset, slammed the covenant down, broke it, but he was meek. He was a meek man. Are you meek? Are you meek? Make your calling and election sure, folks. It's getting late, real late. The rapture of the church is at hand. The tribulation is at hand. Because when the church is raptured, immediately the tribulation comes in. The Bible tells us the day that Lot went out of Sodom and Gomorrah, immediately the fire and brimstone came down. The self-same day. So you need to really consider what we're saying. If these things are not in your life, you are not right with God. I thank you for your lovely son, Father. And oh, how I rejoice knowing that it is a finished work in him. And oh, Ramandrama Shandrabasaya, I feel you healing Scotty right now. Heal, oh God, in the name of your son, Jesus Christ. Heal him. For your glory, heal him in Jesus' name. Praise God. Father, touch these people tonight. And heal tonight. Fathers, they come boldly, Lord, before the throne, believing that they are children of God and the devil can't touch them. Lord, heal them in the name of Jesus tonight. Touch them, oh God. Father, I pray that you'd heal Brother Pascal. Father, heal him in the name of your son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Heal him and make him well in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Touch the little ones tonight.
Touch Kenny tonight. In the name of Jesus, Father, touch his little body. Touch these children in Jesus' name tonight. Father, touch Brother Richard tonight. Lord, touch this head tonight. Oh God, and heal this head. Move every infection out of this body. Heal the spine. Heal it, Jesus. Oh Father, in the name of your lovely Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, heal, Father. Oh God, in Jesus' name. Father, touch Benny and heal Benny tonight. Father, break every yoke tonight. Lord, may thy spirit move tonight. May the healing power of God be here tonight. I feel it here, Father. Lord, because of you and your righteousness, because of you and your faith, heal in the name of Jesus. Father, heal in Jesus' name and touch these little ones. Father, heal this sister tonight. Father, answer her request tonight. Move in the behalf of her loved ones, in the behalf of Billy. Heal and forgive. Save tonight. In the name of your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Heal, oh God. Father, move every sickness out of this body. Make well tonight because of the faith of the Son of God. Heal, oh God, in Jesus' name tonight. Father, heal tonight. In the name of Jesus, make well tonight. Heal, oh God, and strengthen in Jesus' name. Father, heal tonight. In the name of Jesus, may thy spirit that I feel right now heal. May every condemnation be moved out in the name of Jesus tonight. Hallelujah. I feel your presence. Let's love the Lord tonight. I feel God wanting to heal tonight. I do. I felt God in my bedroom this evening. As I talked with him, I felt his wonderful presence come down. And God wants to heal tonight. If you'll just give way to Christ tonight, God will heal you. You got to remember one thing tonight. I tell you this over and over. You got to believe tonight that it is a finished work in God. That he did it at Calvary. That it's over for you. And that you've got to rejoice in it. Thank God for it. Decree a thing in your heart, it'll come to pass. Accept it. Say, God, it's mine. It's mine. Not going to be mine, but it's mine right now. I believe it. I'm enjoying it right now. I'm enjoying it right now. Start enjoying it right now. Not waiting, but enjoying it right now. You know, to have health, you've got to start enjoying it right now. Start glorifying God for the health right now. See, say, God, I'm healthy, I'm happy, I'm strong and well because of Jesus. Glory to God, I'm not going to wonder about getting well. I'm not going to wonder how long it's going to take. God, I am well because of what you've done. I am a Christian because of what you've done. I do have salvation because of what you've done. Glory to God, I do have the Holy Ghost because of what you've done, Father. I'm a healthy, whole person. Tonight, glory to God, I'm rejoicing, Father. I'm full of joy because of your countenance. Lord, I'm full of joy. I'll bring joy. I'll bring Zion with everlasting joy. I've got joy unspeakable, and it's filled with the glory. You've got to start enjoying it right now. Start enjoying it right now. Start praising God for it right now. Accept it right now. That's the way to do it. If you want it, it's already done. It's already yours. The devil's keeping you back from it because of condemnation, because of reasoning. All of these things that the devil throws at you in harassing your mind, he'll keep you putting it off and putting it off until he puts you in the grave somewhere. Don't do that. Start enjoying it right now. It's already done. Don't say, Lord, when it's done, Lord, if you'll heal me, oh God, please heal me. Get away from that kind of thing. You want to get away from that. And you want to thank God because he did heal you. Do you doubt the word of God? The Bible said, by stripes you were healed. Healed where? Calvary. That's why you say, devil, get behind me. You say, but Brother Pike, I've just done such and such. Let me tell you something, friend. If you're a saint of God tonight, God forgive your sins once and for all. They're already gone.
Every wrong you'll ever do, every mistake you'll ever make was forgiven one time by the blood. If God forgive you every day, you'd have to have a lamb to slay every day. He forgive it once and for all. Every mistake you'll ever make, it'll never register in the presence of God. It'll never be seen by God. It'll never come in His presence. It's gone by the blood. It'll never come up before God. You're clean, whole, perfect, ready for the rapture. You've got to get in the Spirit. You've got to understand this or you won't make the rapture. You've got to realize there is no blemishes to you. There is no spots to you. There is nothing to you. If you don't get that way, you're going to be left here. Because only they that make the rapture will believe like that. There is no sin to a saint of God. There is no blemish to a saint of God. There is no condemnation to a saint of God. There is now therefore no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. Now I know the devil will try to bring condemnation to your heart. But brothers and sisters, I want you to know that in the presence of God there is no condemnation. God does not condemn you over anything. And happy are you if you don't condemn yourself. I'll tell you right now, if God don't condemn me, you don't expect me to condemn myself. If God don't condemn me, I'm sure I'm not going to condemn myself. I'm too grateful to God that He don't condemn me. Happy is He. You can be happy tonight. Oh, brother, when you don't condemn yourself, you can be happy. Did you know that? That's the only way in the world to be happy, is not to condemn yourself over it. Just be thankful that God doesn't condemn you. Father, touch Brother Richard tonight. In the name of Jesus. Oh, Holy Father, as we sang the song, in the name of Jesus, heal tonight. Save tonight. Forgive tonight. Oh, God, touch the little ones in Jesus' name tonight. Touch them in Jesus' name, Father. Touch them in the name of Jesus. Touch this baby in the name of Jesus tonight. Heal this baby, oh, God. Heal it, Lord. Father, touch Roger tonight. Heal him in the name of Jesus. Heal him in the name of Jesus. Father, touch Brother Gary tonight. Heal him in the name of Jesus. May there be real, genuine healing tonight, Father. Father, heal Gary tonight. May the Spirit of the living God come down tonight. And may he be healed in the name of Jesus. Oh, God, may every thought, God, be moved out of our heart tonight. Lord, that would be unlike Jesus. Heal tonight. Oh, hallelujah. I feel faith, Father. Heal. Touch these little ones tonight in the name of Jesus. Touch them in Jesus' name tonight. Father, heal in the name of Jesus tonight. Break every yoke. Forgive every sin. And heal in the name of Jesus. Touch these little ones, Father, in the name of Jesus tonight. Father, touch this sister in the name of Jesus. May thy Spirit tonight heal tonight, oh God, and grant your blessings in Jesus' name. Hallelujah, as I feel your presence tonight, may the great Spirit of the living God come down tonight, heal and forgive. Oh, mighty God, heal tonight. Father, touch this sister in the name of Jesus. May the Spirit of the Lord heal tonight. Heal and forgive in Jesus' name tonight. Father, touch this sister in the name of Jesus. Let thy Spirit move tonight and heal in the name of Jesus. Touch these little ones in Jesus' name tonight, Father. Hallelujah. Can't you praise God tonight? You know, I can tell that some of you don't believe what I said tonight. You're wrestling in your minds right now as to whether what I said's true tonight. If you believe what I said tonight, you'd be one more happy people tonight. Knowing that God doesn't have anything marked up against you in heaven tonight, you'd be happy. Folks, I tell you again in the name of the Lord, if you don't do it, you're not going to make the rapture. You've got to come to the place to realize that Christ did it, that it was His faith and not your faith. That it was His faith. That's the only thing that will ever give you perfect faith, is to believe that His faith was perfect and that it done the job. As long as you feel that you're trying to do the job by your faith, you'll always have imperfect faith or unperfect faith. You'll never have perfect faith. You've got to realize that the church that God's coming back for don't have any spots. It don't have any blemishes. You say, but Brother Pike, the church don't have any if what you said is true. That is absolutely right. But the only way that you're part of the church is to be fastened to that faith by accepting what God said in His Word about it. Because if you're to be part of that church, you've got to believe that He's your Savior. You've got to believe that what He done was for you. That's where your faith comes in. You've got to believe that what He done for you was the thing that's going to take you to the glory world. Not what you're going to do, but what He done for you. And you've got to believe that He done it for you. And you've got to believe that He done every bit of it for you. And that there's no more for you to confess. There's no more for you to do. Can you understand that tonight? There's no more for you to do. There's no more for you to do. He's done it. What we're doing tonight is trying to get our vessels in shape so that He can move through us, so His Spirit can minister through us. We're sanctifying our vessels so God can use the members of His body, not make the members of His body. We're born the members of His body. But my brother, we're just trying to get the members together, get them sanctified for the use of God, that it can redeem this body and get it on out of here. And we can do everything we can for Him while we are here by having a sanctified vessel. Hallelujah. Father, touch Willie tonight. In the name of Jesus, move the faith of the people tonight. My God, in Jesus' name, help their unbelief tonight, Father. May the Spirit of the Lord move, and may they believe in Jesus' name. Father, touch the little ones tonight. Touch Baxter tonight. In the name of Jesus, may the youth let their spirit move out tonight. May the Spirit of God come down, Father. Heal in the name of Jesus. Touch Mike tonight. Let Mike feel the presence of God. Oh, Lord, help their faith to be lifted up. Jesus, help their faith to be lifted up. In Jesus' name tonight, touch Philip, Father. May their faith be lifted up. Oh, God, may their faith be lifted up. Hallelujah. You know you need to lift your faith up tonight. You need to lift your faith up tonight. I know that God is here tonight. I know that the presence of the Lord is here. But some of you, your faith is way, way, way down tonight. You need to lift your faith up in God. One of these nights or days, the rapture is going to take place and you're going to be left here. Because without faith, it is impossible to please God. He that cometh to God must believe that He is, and believe that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Enoch was translated by faith because before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. And without faith, it is impossible to please God. Hallelujah. Father, in the name of Jesus tonight, may the Spirit of the Lord come down in a mighty way tonight and heal in Jesus' name. Father, may Thy Spirit in a great and in a mighty way tonight heal tonight in the name of Jesus. Help us, God, to believe in Jesus' name. Touch these little ones in the name of Jesus tonight. May Thy Spirit tonight come down in a mighty way and heal in the name of Jesus tonight. May the blessings of the Lord come down, Father. May Thy Spirit be here. Heal Paul tonight. May the blessings of God be upon Paul tonight. Help him to believe with all of his heart. Father, move all condemnation. Help us to run with patience the race that is set before us. Father, touch my brother tonight. May the Spirit of the Lord be upon him tonight to heal, to help him to make decisions. Bless the little one in Jesus' name tonight. Father, bless Brother James tonight. May the Spirit of God come down tonight and heal and save and forgive in the name of the Lord. May Thy Spirit, O God, touch these young boys tonight. May the presence of God be upon them as we lay our hands on them, Jesus. God, I ask you to heal tonight. May Billy, Lord, tonight in the name of Jesus. Father, may he be blessed tonight. May the Spirit of God come upon him. And may he find the right way to heal and forgive him in Jesus' name tonight. Father, to touch this little one tonight in Jesus' name. God, touch Bobby tonight in the name of Jesus. May Thy Spirit move tonight and the power of God heal in Jesus' name. Father, may you touch Michael tonight in the name of Jesus. May the great Spirit of God be upon him to heal him. God, touch Mike in Jesus' name. God, whatever he does, help him in the name of Jesus. Give him the understanding, Lord, to speak
the word of God in Jesus' name. Father, touch the sister tonight. May the healing of God come down in this body. May she have the understanding of the Lord. Bless this little sister in the name of Jesus tonight. May the Spirit of God touch this sister in the name of Jesus. Heal tonight. Heal in the name of Jesus, Father. May thy Spirit in Jesus' name heal and save tonight. Hallelujah. Somebody say, I love Jesus. I feel God here tonight. And you know what? If you would really believe tonight, you'd feel such an atmosphere tonight, such as you've never felt in all of your life. Oh, folks, if you could only understand the mystery of God, if you could only see what God has done for you. You say, but I hear. But having ears, you hear not. Having eyes, you see not. If you did hear, if you did see, it would be such a different world. Oh, let me tell you, when you believe, you translate. 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 You go from one dimension to another dimension when you believe. You change dimensions. You can't make believe when you believe in what He hath done for you. Father, tonight I believe in what Jesus has done for me. Oh, Ramanda Rabashaya. I believe in Jesus' name. Father, touch them in Jesus' name tonight. May the Spirit of the Lord touch these girls in Jesus' name. Father, touch this sister in the name of the Lord tonight. Heal in the name of Jesus. Oh, God, in Jesus' name tonight. Father, touch this sister in the name of the Lord tonight. Father, to heal in the name of Jesus tonight. May thy Spirit, oh God, answer this prayer request in Jesus' name tonight. Oh God, heal in the name of Jesus. Heal, Jesus, in your name tonight. Raise up and bless, Lord, as I feel the anointing of God. Father, heal tonight in the name of Jesus. May thy Spirit, oh God, heal and forgive in Jesus' name tonight. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Just come right on over here. Hallelujah. Praise God. Father, touch these little ones tonight in the name of Jesus. As I lay my hands upon them, may the Spirit of the Lord bless them tonight. Hallelujah. Father, touch the sister tonight. Father, to heal her body in the name of Jesus tonight. May the Spirit of the Lord be upon her. Father, touch this baby in Jesus' name and touch this sister in the name of the Lord tonight. Father, to heal. Let the great, mighty Spirit of God heal tonight. Father, they need a touch from thee tonight. Heal in the name of Jesus tonight. Heal in Jesus' name. May your Spirit come down and heal tonight. Hallelujah. How wonderful, oh how wonderful, to know that God hath done the great and marvelous thing that He hath done. Oh how wonderful, how wonderful. Hallelujah. I wish that you could live up here in this place. I wish that you could live up here in this place. It is so wonderful. Hallelujah. Father, touch this little baby. I thank you for healing this little baby when it was so sick, oh God. And Father, heal the sister in the name of Jesus. May thy great Spirit heal tonight in the name of the Lord. Father, touch this sister tonight. Father, heal in the name of Jesus Christ tonight. Heal for your glory. Touch this little baby in Jesus' name. And Father, touch the sister and heal tonight in the lovely name of the Son of God. Heal in Jesus' name tonight. Hallelujah. Father, touch this sister tonight. In the name of Jesus, I ask you to heal tonight. May thy Spirit heal in Jesus' name tonight. Praise God. I feel His presence, don't you? Folks, you better get ready. The church is getting ready to go out of here. I know that some of you can't get a hold of it. I know you can't get a hold of it because you've not believed, you've not listened, you've not got in, you've not tried to be really get down to business with God. You've had your mind scattered on too many things. But I tell you, in the name of the Lord, everything is drawing to a close. Tonight, you're going to have to get a hold of rapturing faith.
And I want you to know tonight that your faith is not rapturing faith. And I want you to know tonight that your faith is never going to be rapturing faith. But I'll tell you what, when you get a hold to the faith of Christ Jesus and contend for the faith that was once delivered unto the saints of God, that God Himself will deliver unto you and put in your heart, and that is the faith of Christ Jesus by which you're sanctified, it'll do something to you that your faith from then on will be different from what it's ever been at any time in your life. It'll be different. That's how Enoch was translated. And tonight, if you're going to be translated, you're going to have to get it. We say, well, I'm waiting patiently. Brother Pike, I know that God is going to pick me up, and I know that God is going to take me through. But I'm telling you, just as I've told you so many times from behind the sacred desk, it'll never happen. It'll never happen. You're going to have to believe your way through. And the only way to believe your way through is your confidence in what He hath done. You say, but Brother Pike, I believe in Christ's His finished works. It's more than just saying I believe in His finished works. It is the faith of Jesus Christ. The faith, you've got to get a hold of what I'm saying. The faith of Jesus Christ. The faith of Jesus Christ. It's what He believed that done the job. What He believed that done the job. And when you get to the place to where you truthfully can truthfully confide in His faith toward God and say, my God, what He believed done it for me. What He believed done it for me. Oh, brother, it's going to be such a new day for you. Such a new day for you. The faith. What then has our father Abraham found as pertaining to faith? He discovered something. That God keeps His promises. And that God made a promise to a seed. And a seed came and received the promise. Because his faith was sufficient. And tonight, I'm a child of God because his faith was sufficient. You say, what do you mean by that? I believe that. And because I believe that, then everything's all right. Everything's all right. Them that are of his faith will believe that. Them that are not of his faith can never believe that. They can never believe that because they are not of his faith. They were not secured by his faith. But all that was secured from the foundation of the world by the faith of Jesus Christ will believe that because we are predestinated in Him. In Him. You know, you're never going to be able to love Him and praise Him and glorify Him and magnify Him until you realize that it's Him. You know, it is Him that done it. And not us, we ourselves. It is not of works, lest any man should boast, but it is Him that hath done it. You say, but we know, Brother Pike, that He was crucified for us. Oh, brother, you don't understand. You don't understand. We're dealing with more than just an offered lamb. More than just an offered lamb. Don't you want to make the rapture? Don't you want to go in the rapture? Don't you want to? You say, is what you're saying true, Brother Pike? Search the scriptures. Jesus said, search the scriptures. In them ye think ye have eternal life. But these are they that testify of me. He said, the scriptures testify of me. Search the scriptures. Search the scriptures. So close it would deceive the very elect if it was possible. Tonight, I know there's elect of God here tonight. I know there's elect of God that's standing in my midst tonight. I know that there is. You know, I had a vision a long time ago, and the great angel Michael came down out of heaven. You know, angels are spirits. You can't see them. But it came down out of heaven. And he was in our midst among the brethren. The Bible says, and in that last day, Michael shall stand for his people. Michael, the great prince. The angel of God, the great spirit of God. You cannot see him with your eyes. But I saw him in a vision as he came down and he was with the brethren of Bethlehem. I saw him come down out of heaven among our fellers and among our workers. You can't see him tonight. But that still doesn't mean he isn't here. And Michael shall stand for his people in the last day. There shall be great trouble. You really need to do something, folks. You know it won't be long. And he'll be taking his flight from the Gentile people. And he'll be going over to Israel. Because things is beginning to get bad at Israel. And he must fight for Israel. Oh, if we could entreat Christ. If we could understand the words. If we could glorify him and realize what he hath done. Oh, what hath he done for us? Can I tonight rely upon his faith? Can I rely upon his faith tonight? Can I rely upon his faith? Can I bring myself to rely upon his faith? I must. Can I believe that he hath forever wiped my sins away, that I'll never be able to transgress, that where there is no law, there is no transgression, and the law is folded up and laid away, and that I can never sin against God anymore? Therefore, I cannot die because I cannot sin. And I cannot sin because there is no law to transgress, and the transgression of the law is sin. Can I believe that? Can I believe that his faith done all of that? That his faith done all of that? That once and for all he done all of that? Did he actually do all of that? Is it really finished? Oh, Christian friend, if you could understand and believe tonight, I trust that you can. Can I rely on him tonight? He done a good job. Let me tell you, he done a good job. If you ever come to understand the mystery of it, you'll know he done a good job. And oh, how happy you'll be. You know why you'll be happy? You know, if you had $1 million in the bank tonight, the flesh would be happy. Because it would feel like it wouldn't have to worry if it needed a doctor. Wouldn't have to worry if it needed food. Wouldn't have to worry if it wanted a nice new automobile. It wouldn't have to worry. Oh, let me tell you, he did a good job. You don't have to worry.